Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in the Chicagoland area and earned a BS in International Economics from the University of Illinois, and a Master of Arts in Christian Leadership from Bethel Seminary. Since 2006, he's been a salesman for God as a leader and pastor in Prague, Czech Republic, Chicago, and Denver. And since 2016, he's been the executive director of Alpha USA. The author of How to Follow Jesus and Sharing Your Faith Like Jesus, his name, Craig Springer. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to the executive director of Alpha USA, Craig Springer. Craig, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Jack, thank you. It's an honor to be with you and all your listeners.
Can we start by you offering us an opening prayer this evening?
Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're so grateful that we have breath and life today. We recognize that you are in control, and we want to grow every day closer to you. We want to grow to represent you more effectively on this earth. And so would you help even this conversation, even these moments, to draw us closer to you and make us more effective in your name? We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. You grew up in the Chicagoland area. Talk about your childhood and your mom and your dad, Craig.
Thanks, Jack. Yeah, I grew up in the suburban Chicagoland area. Wonderful family. My dad grew up in a Jewish background, and his father founded a law firm in downtown Chicago, and sort of a generational commitment to being attorneys. But my mom and he didn't agree on a faith upbringing, and so we didn't engage in the Jewish tradition as a family. But I did go to a small village church in our area. But for some reason, I don't know why, it just didn't settle into my heart. I took a very rebellious turn in my teenage years, like many do, and really got to the end of those teenage years and said, God, if you're real, I'm ready for you to show up. Give me purpose. Give me truth. I feel like I've turned over every stone and it's left me empty. And a friend of mine invited me to a church, a youth group, and they were teaching on John chapter 4, Jesus, the living water. And I prayed this prayer that night. I said, if you are the living water, I am thirsty. I'm ready. So bring me into relationship with you. And that point, I knew really almost instantly, I'm called to help other people find a relationship with God because it's been so profound of a transformation for me.
What's the biggest thing you learned from mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from dad?
My mother is incredibly committed to learning and growing. She's a high school counselor, and she was a master's level sort of library of science. And she's always curious at any age, learning everything she can, putting herself in places where she's learning new things, new countries, new contexts. I love that, always never arrived, always learning. So I definitely received that from her. She's also extremely generous. And my father was extremely generous too. And he was a quieter man, but would seek to help people in very unseen ways. And he was extremely resilient. He was a marathon runner. I remember riding my bike alongside of him as he was training for marathons. And that became something I got involved in, and working through all life's challenges without giving up.
All right. From 2006 to 2009, you were a team leader for the Christian Associates International in a little town called Prague. They call it the Little Paris. Spectacular. Tell us about that chapter of your life.
I was in a leadership residency program, sort of like an internship with my wife at the time. It was a master's degree training program studying church leadership and then leading in a church setting. And I had done some missions work in Central Europe some years prior and was deeply impacted by the opportunity in a post-communist context to bring the gospel. And people, many cases, had never heard the name of Jesus or certainly studied the name of Jesus. And so it was a real ripe opportunity. I felt very passionate and built some friendships. My wife and I, during that church leadership training program, traveled to a friend's wedding in Central Europe. And I had this moment standing on the subway platform in Prague. I looked around at I don't know how many, maybe thousands of people, and it is a gorgeous city, but it is known as one of the most atheist nations on the planet. Looking around thinking, everyone is crying out to God. The Lord has written eternity in the hearts of all humanity. And when I cried out to God for help, there was a loving Christian family and a flourishing Christian church right down the road that drew me into faith. Yet when people in somewhere like Czech Republic are crying out to God, just statistically speaking, there isn't a loving Christian family or a flourishing Christian church down the road. That it's referenced at maybe 0.01% of the population of that country know and follow Jesus. And so I just felt this burden, like I need to go and bring the light where it's not yet shining and invest in that way. And so we moved and partnered with a Czech national, became a very close brother and friend. He translated the Bible over a number of years into the, at that time, the only current modern Czech language translation. And it was very effective in the culture. And then when he was ready to take the church, we handed off the church leadership to him after a few years. And then we moved back to the States. Two children stronger.
That Czech food is good food over there.
It is. It's hearty. It's a hearty meal. Get you through the winters.
Yes. We're talking to Craig Springer, the author of How to Follow Jesus. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula. We're with Craig Springer. We now jump ahead, 2009 to 2014. Craig, you're the lead pastor of Willow Creek Community Church, the Huntley campus. Talk about that chapter in your life, please.
Thank you. Yeah, Willow Creek had a profound impact on me. That is the church where I said yes to Jesus. I know they've gone through some challenges these days, but God is using and has used that church tremendously and will continue to. Before I became the campus pastor, I was involved in we call compassion and justice, where we would create local partnerships with ministries alleviating poverty throughout the city of Chicago and then globally. I was very involved in that. I led the local partnerships throughout the Chicago metro area. One of the projects that we led was building out and raising $10 million for they call the Care Center, which is a full service mechanics shop. Cars get donated and then repaired and given to single moms in need. The Chicago area, it's a massive food pantry, clothing boutique, counseling, legal services, a dentist donating time for free services, et cetera. So huge ministry opportunity. And then the Huntley campus launched in that season. And I know God has always given me a passion for church and church planning, as well as sort of an entrepreneurial heart. So was able to plug in as the lead pastor there. And it's a wonderful cross section. It's sort of the edge of new suburban development in the Chicago metro expansion, as well as I think it was something like a 55,000 person Del Webb Sun City, over 55 community. So it was this amazing community of empty nesting retirees, and then new families seeking out sort of affordable suburban living. And so it was this great connection of multi-generational community building. And we got to see a tremendous amount of growth in those years, serving the community and leading people to Jesus. So I really enjoyed it.
All right. So you're living in Chicago. You're with the Cubs. You're with the Bears. All right.
You know, exactly.
And then you decide, we got to move west to Denver. The beautiful mountains, et cetera. And from 2014 to 2016, you become the teaching pastor and director of adult ministries of Cherry Hills Community Church. Tell us about that chapter.
Well, the mountains are a magnetic force, I'll tell you that, of Colorado. I'm over 6 years in Denver now, and I still feel like I'm living my honeymoon of the environment. It is enjoyable. I get filled up by seeing God through nature. So we're always experiencing that. But a very close friend of mine from seminary became the lead pastor of a large church out in Denver, and I joined him to help continue growing that church. And you know, you never totally understand God's leadings, but when he says go, you got to go. And so that was a good transition season for us, and ended up a number of our friends from Chicago ended up out here as well. So I'm actually in the same men's small group here that I've been in now. I think it's coming up on 13 or 14 years. So we've sort of shared life together, which is very special to me. And interestingly, the Colorado Rockies baseball games, home games, when you scan the stands, have more Cubs fans in them than Rockies fans, because there's so much Midwestern influence. It's pretty funny.
Us Cubbies, we had a tough century, you know, but a couple of years ago, it was utopia.
We made it.
So, all right. 2016, you decide to join Alpha USA as its executive director. Craig, why?
When I was in Chicago and then also in Denver at these large church settings, all of us on the congregation and the staff are praying, God, help us reach people who don't know you. But increasingly, we were becoming less effective at that, recognizing the demographic shifts in our church, sort of aging, and the challenge of reaching the next generation, challenge of leading more and more people to faith. Even though we would train people around evangelism, we saw less and less fruitfulness from that effort over time. And what we started thinking is that, you know, culture around us is shifting. We're moving from a generally Christian upbringing culture in this era to an increasingly post-Christian context where more, you know, the forthcoming generations are growing up without a faith background. And so the ways that we can reach them are different. And we just said, let's start learning from an evangelism movement that's been effective in a post-Christian context. So as we turned our eyes to London, it's suggested that culturally speaking, you know, sometimes Western Europe is almost like 25 years ahead of the United States in terms of certainly religious expression. And this program Alpha was founded in central London about 25 years ago and has led to a massive awakening and turnaround and reaching people for Jesus. It's very simply a group experience. We call it a conversation series where Christians invite non-Christians into the group. Hopefully there's a majority of non-Christians in the group. Serve a fantastic meal. Now we watch a documentary film about life and the Christian faith over 10 weeks. And then it's a conversation group. And we train the group hosts and helpers to be listeners. And maybe we can talk more about that in a second. But to draw people out, to share their thoughts, their doubts, their questions. And then we found, according to Barna, over 82% of non-Christians who go through this experience report developing a relationship with Jesus on the other end. So it's very potent. And so in these two large church settings, where we felt like the evangelism brakes were on, although we wanted to be pressing the gas, we started running Alpha. And not instantaneously, but over time, seeing more and more people say yes to Jesus, more and more people baptized, more and more people emboldened to invite their friends to attend an Alpha. And it led to some significant growth. And so I saw its power as a pastor. And over time, built a friendship with the organization, and ultimately they asked me to lead it. And I am an evangelist at heart, as much as a pastor. And so I never did imagine not being a pastor of a local church, but I sensed the Lord saying, hey, I want you to orient your life towards the one who's wandering away. Like the parable Jesus says of the shepherd who has to leave the 99 and the pasture to go after the one. And that felt like the call to get involved in Alpha for me.
Brampton Church in England for the last 25 years or so has had this Nicky Gumbel,
mm-hmm.
who was a very successful Jewish lawyer, Craig.
Yes.
Then he converted to Christianity at about 30, became a minister. No church wanted him. Talk to us, what makes Nicky Gumbel so special?
Well, Nicky humbly might tell you, you know, that nothing makes me special, but he is incredibly special. And the church is HTB. We call it Holy Trinity Brompton. Again, downtown London, Church of England, Anglican Church. And, you know, some of what makes Nicky special is he is authentically in love with Jesus. He's faithful to his wife and his family. And I think even in this era of, you know, large church pastors and the questions of character, you know, I see and know Nicky deeply and see that character shining through and through with purity and devotion. And he spends time like we all should and do in prayer and in the word every day. And his heartbeat though is to reach the lost. And he depends on the work of the Holy Spirit to empower him to do that. And he surrounds himself with young leaders and never thinks that we already have it all figured out. And so I think that process led to the birth of Alpha. And he's on something like his 94th consecutive Alpha group without stopping. And so you add up those years, about 3 Alphas a year, it's 10 weeks at a time. So he's always in a circle with a majority of non-Christians and seeing people's lives changed. Often many of us say we're passionate about evangelism, but we're 3 or 4 steps removed from those relationships, and Nicky stayed embedded in that. And so that shapes the heartbeat of HTB, the church, and of our ministry to be effective, compelling, relatable, love-centered, listening, hospitable to those on the outside to draw them into faith in Christ.
We're talking to Craig Springer. If you want to learn more, www.alpha.org. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula. We're with Craig Springer, the Executive Director of Alpha USA. Alpha is an opportunity for anyone, anywhere, to freely explore unique questions about life, faith, and God. And since its inception, 24 million people have experienced Alpha in over 100 countries and over 100 languages around the globe. You have 14 sessions over 10 weeks, groups of anywhere from 10 to, I guess, 50 people, and you always serve them a meal. You start with a meal. Why?
What else is the language of the heart, right? And there's more to it than that. When you study the Gospels, Jesus did quite a bit of ministry around a table. And some might say more ministry around a table than a temple. And certainly in the ancient traditions, I mean, sharing a meal was an invitation to engage in deeper connection in life with one another. It represented hospitality that we're instructed, you know, never cease showing hospitality. You never know when you're going to entertain angels, the scripture says. So, and we just love food too. Let's be honest. But we create a disarming environment. That's the goal. Hey, try to make an easy invitation for people who invite their non-Christian friends. Hey, come and share a dinner. We're going to watch a documentary film together and have an open conversation about what you thought about it. And so the attempting to make a very disarming, welcoming experience that people feel comfortable within.
All right, you have 14 sessions. Session number one, who is Jesus? Craig, who is Jesus?
Well, Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And the author and perfecter of our faith, we have a sort of an introductory session before that where we scratch the itch. It's called, Is There More to Life Than This? And it's trying to get at the hunger for purpose and meaning and forgiveness, that sort of God-shaped vacuum in the soul. And then we, official session one is, who is Jesus? And though we have very direct, beliefs supporting the Apostles' Creed and Jesus, Lord, Savior, died, rose again, that we can all be saved and no one can go to the Father except through him. We take people on a journey that allows them to bring their doubts and questions in an easy way. We certainly express those truths about Jesus along the way, but in a tender conversational tone, and give people the time to wrestle with their own questions related to that concept.
In the previous segment, you talked about the role that the leaders, the facilitators play, and you say they listen. One of my faults, I'm under construction, is I'm very quick to judge people. Why do these facilitators just listen, and why don't they tell them the way it is, Craig?
Yeah, I like to juxtapose the concept of proclamation and conversation. Now, we must proclaim. People need to hear the truth in order to believe. And so we do say, actually, the film proclaims the truth very effectively, and it does so gradually over the course weeks. And say what people are starving for in our culture today is conversation. Often all they've ever experienced from the church is proclamation alone, one-sided declarations of truth. And we pick up the hammer of truth when we see a gap in someone's theology or beliefs, we try and nail it in. And you know, even the primary evangelism style of the church today is the weekend service, which is very important. People are coming to faith in weekend services, but there again, it's a one-sided presentation only. So where do people go when they have questions? Increasingly, our culture has questions. And so you look at how Jesus interacted in the Gospels. Jesus asked 307 questions. He was asked 183 questions. He only directly answers 8 questions in the Gospels. Now, some scholars argue to say, no, it's actually only 3 or 5. Let's just go with 8. So do the math. Jesus is 40 times more likely to follow up drawing someone out in further conversation and questions than he is to drive a point home with direct proclamation. And so the concept of listening, David Augsburg is a professor and author, says that being listened to is so close to being loved that the average person cannot tell the difference. And there's so many hostilities and walls to the gospel. It's not that we're never going to share the gospel, but listening, creating a space for conversation where we don't jump in with an instant defense, will allow someone to go from question one, which is really just almost lodged in the head, to questions maybe 4, 5, and 6, which are where the heart resides. And listening creates that space, that safety, that belonging, peels the layers of the onions back, represents the way that Jesus shared and allows the gospel to take root in the heart. And so we train our leaders and hosts and helpers be listeners first, 40 times more, because Jesus did, than you speak or share an answer. And that is one of the distinctives to the approach of Alpha.
We're talking to Craig Springer. If you want to learn more, www.alpha.org. Okay, session 7, session 8, who's the Holy Spirit? And then what does the Holy Spirit do? Please.
Well, we're Trinitarian, just like any Bible-believing Christian, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the expression of the Lord that fills the heart of every believer who surrendered themselves to Jesus. Sometimes the Spirit prays on our behalf. Sometimes the Spirit whispers wisdom and guidance and truth and protects us from sin and fills our hearts with peace in ways that we can't on our own. And apart from the work of the Spirit, we never would even have the power to surrender wholly to Jesus. So, you know, we depend on the Holy Spirit, and we invite people in Alpha in a very approachable way to recognize that the understanding of the gospel isn't just an explanation about doctrine alone. It includes an experience of God's love. And we certainly explain doctrine, but an explanation about information leads people into an impersonal religious commitment when we're wanting people to enter into a personal relationship. So we teach people, you know, the number one thing that the Spirit brings is the love of the Father and an awareness of Jesus Christ. And so we have a very simple prayer. There's no sort of background music or built-up moment. We just teach people to say, "Come, Holy Spirit." And often in those moments, people say, "Gosh, I feel a warmth or a love inside of me like I've never known before." And we say, "That's the love of the Father. He often brings peace, brings love, you know, reduces anxiety in your heart, emboldens you to share faith, whispers to you to stay away from sin." And so part of sharing faith in Christ is both the explanation of the truth of the gospel, but the experience of that relationship facilitated by the Holy Spirit.
We're talking to Craig Springer, and I'm Jack Fasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Jack Krasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Craig Springer, the author of How to Follow Jesus and Sharing Your Faith Like Jesus. Craig, you started us off this evening with a prayer. And during that prayer, you said God is in control. Most people would say, you got a lot of smoking out there in Denver, okay? A lot of pot in the air. God ain't in control today. What do you say to those people?
It is hard. These are tough times. This is a difficult season. Many people are struggling financially and relationally and with health. So I don't discount that. There are concepts that we can reflect on that can answer that. I think maybe the underlying question is, God, how could you allow these things to happen to me or in this world, the painful realities? And before I share some reflections on that, it is important to acknowledge there is no truly satisfactory answer to that question. Again, it is just the love of the Father, and that we can ultimately believe God is good. That is the number one lie that the enemy, if you flip back to Genesis, was trying to convince Adam and Eve against, to believe that God is good, that he has our best interests in mind and at heart, and we can trust that our Father in heaven is good. We don't see the outcome in every possible way, but in a sense, it is the reality of this world that the brokenness introduced by humanity, sin, has affected the relationships that we interact with. It's affected the systems that are efforts have built over the years. And the scripture in Genesis even says it's infected the very ground. And so you think about even natural disasters. There's a broken thread. We're in a both and time of God's kingdom where he's here. He's expressing himself in all his fullness by his spirit and through the church and displayed through scripture. And yet it's a now and not yet where it's a warring moment where, and so is the prince of darkness working hard to push back the work of the Lord. And Colossians 1:17 says, you know, Jesus Christ holds all things. And as you lean deeper intimacy with him, the question will become less, God, why is this happening? And much more, God, how are you revealing yourself in this moment? And what are you trying to shape in me? And that is, I think, a question that spiritual maturity brings over time, because we don't have enough of the answers about why all the time. But God is always revealing himself. And if we ask that question, God, let me see you even in the midst of this broken mess, and let me be shaped more into your image, then we will understand that Jesus does hold all things in his hands.
24 million people have gone through this around the world. It was always 10 weeks, 14 sessions, 10 to 50 people come together, always have a meal together. And now with COVID, you can't come together. So you've gone to an online version. Craig, that won't work.
That's what I thought too. And I didn't want to. I remember, you know, even in years past, my team would press, say, we've got to try this. I'm like, no way. We're about sitting around a table, having a great meal, relationships first, listening. How could it ever work online? And of course, when the shutdown orders came in March, what else are we going to do? Let's just try. So we pulled things together. And since then, in the United States alone, we've had over 2,000 churches running an online alpha, about 4,000 courses. We estimate that in the second quarter of the year, we just did sort of some data on that, 34,000 people said yes to Jesus. We had over 130,000 participants. And we were surprised in a number of levels. First, people came, actually in higher numbers than the in-person alphas. Non-Christians came. They were hungry. They're in need of a space, a place, a connection, some perspective. And surprisingly, on video call systems, people are very open, and possibly more so than in a small group gathering in a church building or home. They feel like they can be themselves, or sitting maybe in their own kitchen or their own living room. They can bail at any time. They can just hit the leave button on the video screen, so they feel like less intimidated. But many people who said to their friends, Christian friends who invited them to come to an alpha at a church, they said, no, that's not for me. And then when their friend invited them to come online, like, I think I can give that a try. No big deal. And often people, even just the limitations are on schedules. They've got kids at home or they work evenings. Now they can attend and make it work in their schedule. And we even found people maybe in a Muslim background are attending an online alpha, whereas they felt too uncomfortable to step into a Christian church because of the sort of commitments of their upbringing. Now they're exploring Jesus, again, in the safety of their computer in their bedroom. And it's very relational. We have conversations just like you and I are having, Jack. We listen to people. Unfortunately, we can't share the meal. We have had some creative churches sort of DoorDash delivery desserts to some of their participants, which is pretty awesome. But God is still at work. In fact, Jesus even does miracles from a distance. He has virtual miracles. It was, I think, the Roman centurion's servant before he didn't even set foot in the house. And like, God isn't threatened by Zoom or Google Hangouts, whatever you use. God shows up.
You've stated that churches today have to innovate or disintegrate. COVID-19, going forward, how's it going to change churches, Craig?
This is a good question. I think there's an emotional debate on the value of digital expression versus in person. And, you know, my very quick conclusion is let's do both, because what we've learned with the digital outreach, number one, it is relational because we're crafting it to be relational, but we're reaching people that we weren't able to reach previously. That's the whole point. We're reaching people who wouldn't show up in a church service. Now, our church services are essential, and we should pour everything into them in person as well. But look at any city. We're not hitting 100% attendance of that city's population in those churches. So where are 100% of people at all times? Well, they're online. And so if we can find creative ways to get the message out, to build relationships, to go where the people are, not in place of the very, you know, the commanded, you know, gathering of God's people, which we should still do, but let's go where the people are. Figure out, like the Apostle Paul, who stood in the steps of the Athenian Areopagus, he noticed, oh, there's a statue to the unknown God. I'm going to change my methodology a little bit to speak in a way that you'll understand. So we need to adjust our methodologies a little bit, recognizing this is a digital era. Everyone is online almost all the time. Let's figure it out, and we'll reach more people.
Quickly, a mutual friend, Mike Timmis. I've learned so much from him. And he says, Jesus is the best friend anyone can ever have. In a half a minute, why so?
Like Peter, who else has the words of eternal life? You know, the book of Proverbs, there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I mean, I have incredible relationships in my life, but none compare to Jesus, his goodness, his beauty, his power, his patience, his constancy, his forgiveness, his salvation. So, you know, I love him. And as you said, Mike Timmis is a dear friend. And every time I'm with him, I just long for Jesus more because it seeps out of him. And we know that's where we find the words of eternal life, in Jesus Christ.
Craig Springer, each week, God is transforming thousands of lives through you and your team at Alpha. Thank you. Keep up the great, great work.
Jack, thank you. What a pleasure to be with you and to your wonderful listeners.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohon.
Believe in yourself.